This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome to the Hockey News Podcast. Today is a Stanley Cup Final Preview Edition. We're going to talk all things Stanley Cup Final. And what we're going to do is go around the horn and talk about five categories, talk about who has the edge in each category. And then I guess from that, we'll make our picks. I'm Ian Dennehy here with Ryan Kennedy, Matt Larkin, and Ken Campbell. Gentlemen, welcome.
What up?
Great to be here.
Happy Stanley Cup Final.
All right, shall we dive right into it then?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with special teams. San Jose Sharks, Pittsburgh Penguins. Who's got the edge?
Well, to me, I mean, the Sharks' power play has become the model of what every power play should be, and I've been saying that for a while now. They're like a textbook power play. You cannot take penalties against this team because it's just almost unfair what they can put out there with that top five of Joe Pavelski, Joe Thornton, Brent Burns, Logan Couture, Patrick Merle. It's just, it's unstoppable. So I think that they've gotten so good. They have such a rhythm with that power play unit that they have an edge over any team they face.
Well, I think too, though, but I think, you know, these guys, they're pretty evenly matched. They both have really good power plays, and they both actually surprisingly don't kill penalties very well. Neither of them do. San Jose's even worse at killing penalties in the playoffs than Pittsburgh is. I think San Jose's penalty killing percentage is like 80, which isn't very good, actually, and Pittsburgh's around 83. I probably would give the edge to the Sharks just because, like you said, Matt, that power play is just so explosive and you know, can do so much damage. So what you don't want to do is get into penalty trouble against this team. I think that would be a real big mistake for the Pittsburgh Penguins to, you know, play on the wrong side of the rule book and start taking lots of penalties because as you said, Matt, this power play is going to kill you. But I don't think it's as huge an advantage for the Sharks as a lot of people think. I think, you know, both these teams are playing pretty well on the power play, and both of them are having their troubles killing penalties, so I think it'll be fairly even, but I would give the edge to the Sharks.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd give slight edge to the Sharks, but you're right, Ken. Like, when it comes to the power play, the Sharks are slightly better than the Penguins in terms of where they are in the overall playoff standings, and the Penguins are slightly better than the Sharks when it comes to the penalty kill. So that really becomes the whole, you know, unstoppable force versus immovable object if you're just looking at percentages and things like that. And I mean, it's so funny how, like, Pittsburgh should have like the best power play ever with Crosby and Malkin and now Kessel, and it hasn't been that way for a long time, but they're still pretty decent. So I think it's almost a soft, but just because of San Jose's upside on the power play, I would give them a hair's edge.
And the interesting X factor to me in all this is Evgeny Malkin, because the Sharks have their big bomber from the point, and Brent Burns on the power play. He just unloads that big one-timer, and even Joe Pavelski can pull off a shot like that as well. And for the Penguins, Malkin likes to play the point on that power play, and he likes to fire off those one-timers as well, but he just doesn't have his goal-scoring touch right now in the playoffs. If he wakes up, and it can happen, we saw it happen with Sidney Crosby in the third round, if Malkin wakes up, it's a whole new ballgame. Or a hockey game, I guess, is more accurate. It's not baseball.
It literally is a hockey game.
I don't think special teams is going to decide this series because they're so close. Unless Pittsburgh starts to get a bit goofy and starts taking a bunch of undisciplined penalties, then for whatever reason, I don't know what it is about the Sharks, but they make you pay on those ones more than they do for just the ticky tack ones. And you know, I'm just speaking anecdotally. I don't know, but it seems to me that when you take those dumb ones, those really aggressive ones, those undisciplined ones, you know, 100 feet from your own net, those are the ones where they seem to make you pay. And I think if Pittsburgh can keep from doing that, it should be fairly close on that front.
Okay, so what's the consensus? Who do I give the big imaginary check mark to?
I feel like we're all saying San Jose to different degrees.
I'm saying even. I think it's a push.
Are we allowed pushes?
Yeah.
No pushes.
Yeah, no pushes.
That's why there's five categories, so it can come out as a tie.
There you go.
Okay, let's say slight edge to San Jose, but slight edge.
Okay, I'll draw a small check mark.
Yeah. A dishonest check mark.
All right, moving on. Goaltending, Matt Murray versus Martin Jones, presumably at least. What do you think?
I feel like Matt Murray has just, he's done so much. And I mean, Martin Jones has been fantastic, but I feel like Matt Murray has that capability to not only steal games, but just make those stops when necessary, when Pittsburgh needs them to make those clutch stops. And, I mean, you give up one goal in a Game 7 to get to the Stanley Cup, and I know that the ice was a little tilted for Pittsburgh when it comes to possession, but, I mean, Matt Murray got it done, and, you know, Stamkos unloaded one that looked like it went off Murray's ribs and out the other side, but it stayed out, and I think, you know, this young man has proven that that he's a force to be reckoned with.
I'm with you on that one, Ryan, and to me, you know, Martin Jones is a solid goaltender, but I think there's a telling stat. He's got a total of 16 shutouts in his career, including the playoffs and regular season. 12 of them, he's faced 30 or fewer shots. He's been doing the Ken Dryden stick clean. He has not been very busy throughout most of these playoffs. You look at the offenses he's faced. He's faced the number 13, 14, and 15 ranked offenses in the NHL in his three series. And Matt Murray's gone up against number 2, 7, and 12. He's had to face Alex Ovechkin. He's had to face, you know, Nikita Kucherov, high-octane Lightning, high-octane Capitals. Even the Rangers were the number 7 offense this year in the NHL. I just think Murray's a bit more battle-tested. He's had more games where he had to make a lot of saves. Like, what was that one, the Washington game, where he made, what, 47 saves in the second round? Whereas Martin Jones was good in Game 7, but I still think he hasn't been forced to make those 10 bell saves. I still feel like I don't know Martin Jones yet. I don't really know what he's made of. I'd like to see what happens when he faces this barrage of shots that the Penguins have been blitzing every single opponent with all throughout the playoffs. And then we'll see how good Martin Jones really is.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go across the board on that one, guys. I would agree with pretty well everything you guys said. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is Martin Jones, you know, Matt Murray's really had to work for his wins. He's had to, you know, he's had to make some big, big saves and pretty well, you know, be a impact player slash difference maker every game. Whereas, you know, there were a couple of games in the, there have been a couple of games in this playoffs where Martin Jones could have been playing in his bath slippers and and he still would have probably won the game, or at the very least played in like players' equipment and won the game. So I guess, you know, like you bring up a good point, Matt. Like, we don't, you know, Martin Jones might be the next second coming of George Vezina, but we just don't know because he hasn't been tested yet. So, you know, for lack of having a body of work, I guess, you know, you have to go with Matt Murray because, you know, Murray has been very, very good. And what I like about Murray is he's just so poised. Like, for a guy who's so young, he doesn't seem to get rattled about anything. And I really like the way he comports himself when things are crazy around his crease and stuff. Like, he just doesn't seem to get too rattled. He makes these saves. He makes them look a lot easier than they probably should be. And, you know, I mean, when things get really hairy around the Pittsburgh crease, you don't get that feeling that, you know, somebody's going to put one in like, you know, like Brian Rust did last night on Vasilevsky. You know pretty well that he's going to be there to kind of, you know, hold the fort, get the puck under his glove, and, you know, drop the puck and try again.
Okay, so we're giving the edge to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's move on to coaching. We've got Peter DeBoer in another Stanley Cup final, a couple of years after taking the New Jersey Devils there against Mike Sullivan, who didn't take over this Penguins team until midway through the year. Who you got?
Oh, for me, it's DeBoer without question. You know, I mean, you talk to San Jose and the players in San Jose, and to a man, they're adamant that, you know, they wouldn't be here if it weren't for Peter DeBoer, a guy who, you know, brought a team that deserves to be there this year. I mean, I think that Sharks, you know, are full marks for getting to the final. But, you know, a few years ago, brought a New Jersey team that really had no business being in the final and you know, got them that far. And, you know, he's been there. He's done that. You know, he's nothing wrong with Mike Sullivan, although I really, you know, have to question his decision to start Marc-Andre Fleury in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final. But, you know, I just think DeBoer is that guy that's been there before. He's got, you know, a couple of really good assistants. And I just think that, you know, when it comes to, you know, in-game adjustments and, you know, changing on the fly and having a pulse for the way the series is going and responding, I would probably have a little more faith in a guy like Peter DeBoer than I would in a guy who's, you know, who was coaching in the American League a few months ago.
I think it's a fair point, Ken, and I'm a big fan of Peter DeBoer. I think he was underrated at the end of his New Jersey days. When he actually had guys to work with, he took a team to the Cup Final. When he had Zach Parise and Ilya Kovalchuk on the same team. At the same time, I'm more of a Mike Sullivan guy. I think there's no coach since the turn of the new year that's had a stronger impact on the way his team plays. And the Penguins are completely transformed. They were bottom third in the league in puck possession before Sullivan came in, and he's transformed them into just a dominant team. And Tampa Bay is a good possession hockey team. Tampa Bay is a team that usually outchances its opponents. And Pittsburgh, in the chances department, absolutely embarrassed Tampa Bay in this series. They just attack, attack, attack. Every player on the ice, every line down to the fourth line, the checkers, Brian Rust, your Tom Kunackles, and even your bottom pair defense, it doesn't matter who's on the ice for the Penguins, they just keep pushing and pushing. And the one thing I love most about the way the Penguins have played in the playoffs is you can't tell whether they're winning or losing. If they're facing elimination or not facing elimination, they play the same way. You saw it in the third period of Game 7. It should have been Tampa Bay that had Pittsburgh back on its heels when Tampa Bay was losing. But the Penguins, even with the lead, they just kept pushing forward, attacking, attacking, didn't go in a defensive shell. To me, that's a sign of a really well-coached team. So I'm a Sullivan guy.
Yeah, I mean, all full credit to Mike Sullivan. He's the new Dan Bylsma, taking over halfway and going to the Cup Final. I give it to DeBoer here. From the Sharks I've spoken with this year, they've told me the same thing that Ken has heard from other players, that Peter DeBoer set up an environment that allowed these guys to reach their full potential for the first time. And, Todd McClellan, good coach, no doubt about that, but sometimes these veterans especially need a different voice. And what guys like Brent Burns had told me, and Paul Martin and Jason Demers, was it was an atmosphere where the Sharks were given a little more responsibility on an individual level, and they embraced that, and they actually, they lived up to their side of the bargain. DeBoer gave them the tactics and the lessons. They implemented it. Guys like Burns and Thornton and Pavelski, the leaders of the team, they were the ones that were always at the rink, first in, last out, because they enjoyed being there. They liked what DeBoer had set up. They liked Bob Bugner and Steve Spotts, a couple of the associate coaches. And they made it fun again in San Jose. And I think, for a team that had so much pressure on it for years and had been labeled chokers and had been chokers, there was lots of talk about blowing up this core and going in a new direction, but GM Doug Wilson gave it one more kick, and DeBoer seems to be the guy that unlocked that. He brought in the right environment for the players he had. And now what I see is a Sharks team that, despite being in the Stanley Cup Final, they were loose and chill in that St. Louis series. You had Joe Thornton dancing with the young Blues fans. I mean, those were pressure games, and he wasn't feeling it at all because he had confidence and he was in the right headspace. And I think that's why I gave the edge to DeBoer, is he's got good players playing their best and in the right headspace right now.
All right, let's move on to team defense. Got some big names.
And we're at San Jose on coaching, right? They get the tick for coaching because it's 2-1.
Yes, it was
right?
Matt loses that one. It's 2-1 San Jose on the coaching front.
Hey, we win.
Okay. Sorry, Sully.
Okay, defense.
I feel this is another one that's San Jose for me, especially with the Trevor Daley injury for Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a big blow for them. I love the combinations they have there in San Jose. I mean, Brent Burns, I think, if he's not the Norris winner, then he's probably the runner-up this year. Paul Martin has done wonders for him and taking his game to the next level. I mean, Vlasic, you got a guy that, we're going to see at the World Cup of Hockey for Canada, just a great shutdown guy. And then even Brendan Dillon on the third pairing, you've got puck movers, you got shutdown guys, they all come through. And I worry about Pittsburgh's depth at this point, especially with all the offensive guns that San Jose has, that when you're getting down to Justin Schultz, when you're getting to Olli Maatta, who has had, a couple of scratches here and there, that would be my main concern with a Pittsburgh defense that has still been pretty good, but I would just give the edge to San Jose.
Yeah, Yeah, I agree with you, Ryan. This is probably the biggest advantage that any team has over any other team in this series. I don't think it's even close in terms of defensive play. You know, for me, this series, the big factors in this series is how, you know, the Sharks handle the Penguins' speed and creativity. And on the other hand, it's how Pittsburgh's defense holds up against, you know, those dangerous big forwards that the Sharks have. And I think their defense is suspect, to say the least. You know, I know everybody's been talking about how great Chris Letang was this season, and he was very good. I don't think he's been very good these playoffs. I think there's been times when he's been brutal, to say the least. You know, Olli Mäta's had his struggles. You know, they don't have a lot of depth there with, you know, like you say, with their 5-6 of Cole and Schultz, and with, you know, with Trevor Daley being out of the picture for the entire final. I don't think it's close, personally. I think that and this check mark, it's a big, thick, red, huge check mark for San Jose.
I just want to quickly point out, I said Jason Demers, I meant Justin Braun. Obviously, Demers plays for Dallas now.
Good point. And I'm with you guys in this one. I think it's funny. I get it twisted into it. I got to push for Mike Sullivan one more time. I think he's gotten the most out of his team. And he turned Trevor Daley...
The checkmark's there already.
...from an afterthought into a guy that was very important in that scheme, pushing the puck up the ice. They really need Trevor Daley. They don't have him. And I think it's a case of the blue liners have done... Sullivan has got the most that he could get out of that group, but talent-wise, I think the Sharks are far superior. Aside from this, I want to address something. I don't know if you guys can hear, listeners out there, a siren. There's a fire drill going on in our building right now, and we're choosing to just stick with the Stanley Cup Final. We're not going outside. We're going to be rebels about it.
But, we will burn.
Yeah, if you guys hear the siren, our apologies.
I was just officially told we can stay.
Nice.
But... as long as we're aware of the implication.
Okay, when you guys talk about defense too, I think it's, you know, it's not just the defense corps, it's team defense. And I think, you know, even up front, you know, the Sharks have much a better defensive awareness among their forwards than Pittsburgh does. Like, again, and I don't think it's really all that close. You know, I mean, Phil Kessel's never been, although he's back checked in that Tampa series like I've never seen a back check before. But you know, nobody's gonna really you know, mistake these guys with a bunch of defensive demons. But you know, personally, I think that Joe Thornton is one of the best two-way centers in the NHL. You know, I think too that, you know, with guys like Spalling and Wingles, and you know, they've just got those guys that are more defense oriented up front, and I think that that plays into it as well. It's a, you know, whole team thing, and I think San Jose's got it over Pittsburgh for sure.
All right, that is an aggressive check mark for San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's move on to offense. This is where the star power is. High-powered offense both ways. Who do you like?
I'm going to go back in the Pittsburgh camp for this one. I think it's close. I mean, both teams are among the best in the league offensively. Both teams have a lot of star power. It's going to be a bit of a mirror match in that sense. But the Penguins, the depth of their attack, I think, has been unmatched. Their third line, their quote-unquote third line in the playoffs, the HBK line, Hagelin, Bonino, and Kessel in the playoffs, that's been one of the best lines in the entire playoffs. Again, that's line three. Even if you want to say, you know what, no, this is the de facto number two line. Fine, then Evgeny Malkin is your number three center. And I think it's only a matter of time before Malkin wakes up. And Sidney Crosby is back playing elite, not just all-around hockey. He was always playing elite all-around hockey, but he's got his offensive game going again. He had three game winners in the third round. And I love the way he's reinvented himself. He's positioning himself in the slot. He's taking feeds from teammates instead of just trying to set everybody up. He's showing that when he needs to be a goal scorer, he can flick that switch and become a very dangerous goal scorer. And I just think we've seen it in the numbers, the shot attempts, the analytics. The Penguins just absolutely pepper their opponent with shots. And even if it means, it's funny, that sounds like that song. Shot.
Yeah.
I sound like a bro right now, but you get the idea, everybody.
Like a bro.
I don't know where I was going with it, but the bottom line is the Penguins just blitz the opposing net. And even if it means sacrificing a little bit of defense, they're just all-out offense incarnate. They've been the most deadly offensive team in the playoffs. I don't think anybody can match them.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. And I go back to last night in Game 7 against against Tampa Bay. You know, they take the 1-0 lead. You know, Tampa Bay scores to tie it up 1-1, and now everybody's a little bit nervous. What does Pittsburgh do 30 seconds later? Can they come back and score? You know, and I just think in the other series, nobody has, none of the Sharks opponents had a real answer for, you know, the Pavelskis and Joe Thornton and then Logan Couture in terms of keeping up with them offensively. You know, particularly when Dallas was, you know, missing Tyler Seguin. But I think Pittsburgh, you know, obviously they do. They have guys who can hang with those guys on their best days. And I just think, as you say, Matt, they're relentless on the puck in the offensive zone. They shoot a lot, and they don't take lousy shots. They take good, legitimate opportunities. They're very opportunistic. I mean, they're really hard to play against that way. And, you know, for me, it's the speed. I mean, I think that, you know, the Sharks, although they're fast enough themselves, too, for a team that's a big Western Conference team, I think, you know, when the Penguins start getting moving their feet and the puck around in the offensive zone, that's going to be a big challenge for the Sharks to be able to keep up with them.
Yeah, for me, it's Pittsburgh with the edge just because of the overall depth. You look at San Jose's fourth line, you're getting into guys like Zubris and in the bottom six, Tommy Wingles, and guys that don't score that much. Whereas you look at Pittsburgh, and like, would anybody be surprised if Matt Cullen popped in a game winner? I mean, we've seen what Brian Rust has done. We've seen what Kuhnhackl can do. And again, with the HBK line, whether that's your first, second, or third line on paper, that's a tough matchup. And what I'm interested is, what's going to be the line distribution in this final? I mean, if you're San Jose, I think you're probably going to lean pretty heavily on your top two lines if you need a goal. Whereas Pittsburgh, you can almost roll. You'd be kind of rolling 3.5 lines, I would think, if you needed a goal. And it also just reminds me how fun this series is going to be. I was thinking about it earlier. It's like, man, Logan Couture, he's got a ton of points, but can Sidney Crosby shut him down? And then it's like, wow, we get to watch that for 4-7 games. That's going to be amazing. I think we've really lucked out in the past couple of years with Stanley Cup Finals.
Okay, if you're keeping track, you know the score. But I'm going to throw 3 surprise bonus categories at
dun,
you.
Dun, dun.
Whoa!
Okay.
Bonus categories.
And now you just did that in tune with the alarm.
Yeah, the fire alarm's still going off, everybody.
Okay.
Still evacuating.
Bonus category 1. Pittsburgh touched the Prince of Wales trophy. San Jose did not touch the Clarence Campbell Bowl. Who do you like?
Pittsburgh because of confidence.
And because Crosby touched it in 2008. They lost the final. He didn't touch it in 2009. Sorry, he did touch it. The reverse of what I just said. He did not touch it in 2008. They didn't win. He did touch it in 2009. They did win.
Right.
And to borrow a line from Brian Burke, none of this means a rat's ass. It doesn't matter who touched what. Come on, guys. It doesn't matter who touched the trophy, who didn't touch the trophy.
Play the game, Ken.
Do you think this is really going to make any difference? Do you think the players really think it's going to make a difference if they touch the trophy or not?
Only if someone's allergic to silver.
Get real, guys.
If they didn't think so, they would all touch it.
Mm.
Okay, next. Uniforms.
Uniforms. Ooh. Oh, well, I mean, San Jose's got the huge edge. I mean, Pittsburgh's got a pretty nice uni going, but, I mean, anytime they ever do any of these, who's got the nicest uniform pull, doesn't San Jose win all the time? Like, didn't we name them, like, the best logo in the history of hockey or something?
We did.
We did.
We did. Yeah. I will say, I do like Pittsburgh's, like, modern throwback jerseys that they wear, but I still give the edge to San Jose.
And I'd be a lot more scared of a team wearing black than a team wearing teal.
Although this is interesting, if San Jose wins the cup this year, they will be the first blue team to win the cup since the 94 Rangers.
Wow, that's almost as interesting as the Sharks and the Penguins are the first two non-human species teams to be playing each other in the final.
Wow.
Is that true?
I heard that too.
That's true. That's true. I checked it last
time. I mean, the Lightning were in it last year. The Flyers have been in it recently. The Canucks have been in it recently. The Kings.
Yeah, that's true. Because I was going to say, what's a Canuck? But I guess it's just a person.
Well,
it's a Canadian.
That's just a bear mauling a human.
Yeah, yeah.
A Ranger is a human.
Yeah. If all the president's men taught me anything is that Canuck was a slur in the 70s. Yeah. Like he was a dirty Canuck. Times were different then.
Okay, so what's our last category?
Last one. Celebrity fan. James Hetfield of Metallica for San Jose versus Michael Keaton for Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
What about that wrestler guy?
Oh, yeah, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, Shawn Michaels, too.
Yeah, but he's sort of he's kind of real.
Guy. What about him?
He seems like he was just kind of flown in to hype the crowd. I don't know if we can call him a fan.
Keaton's more of a diehard, you're saying?
He was there in 2008 and 2009.
Yeah, and he's Beetlejuice.
He's from Pennsylvania.
He started two straight Best Picture Oscar winners. Mm. Birdman Spotlight.
Hey, doesn't San Jose have a couple of other big-time fans? Or?
Well, I went with Hetfield because they kept showing him in the crowd the other night.
Yeah, and I think he did their intro where he opens the door for them. They had Christy Yamaguchi one time, and because she's married to Brett Hedekin. I gotta go James Hetfield, but I would like to say early James Hetfield because I'm a snob. So as long as it's James Hetfield up to and Justice for All, then I give the edge to San Jose. Well, I'll give them the Black Album because, I mean, that was a very crucial metal album in the pantheon. So James Hetfield, Black Album, and Before.
What year did that album come out?
Who did you say was Pittsburgh's guy?
Michael Keaton, 91. And actually, that'd be a good debate because Michael Keaton pre-91 was pretty hot too.
Oh, Michael Keaton, oh, okay.
So if we're talking like James Hetfield, Ride the Lightning versus Mr. Mom Michael Keaton.
Batman's
kind of like the Black Album, right? So this is pretty good.
You gotta go with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, he did a bloody movie with the Penguins in it.
That is true.
They were killing each other out during a Penguins game.
And Luke Robitaille was in it.
A little bit too, don't you?
Yeah.
Doesn't that count for something?
It might. I'd also like to point out that late Metallica was also when they did Fuel and stuff. That was when Michael Keaton did Multiplicity, which was, they were all awful. So I think we probably need an entire podcast just on the career arcs of Metallica and Michael Keaton, but I recognize that that's a bit of a sidebar, so I'll demur on that point.
I got a fun fact about Sudden Death, by the way, that I learned this year. Mario Lemieux was supposed to be in Sudden Death, but because of the lockout, it messed up his schedule. So I think, because he wasn't in Pittsburgh at the time, but he would have been if the season was going forward as planned. So we missed out on Mario being in Sudden Death. Maybe.
Boy, he would have been a good actor, right? That would have been really cool to see. That would have been great.
It also would have been weird, though, because, how tall is Jean-Claude Van Damme? Is he actually big, or is he movie big?
No, he's Tom Cruise big, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you would have had, 6'4" Mario Lemieux being like, please save me, small man. So maybe it was all for the best.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know much about any of this stuff, so I'll say Pittsburgh.
Okay. Well, I think the scorecard says San Jose, so if you guys want to each make it official with your actual pick, go for it.
My actual pick is San Jose and 7.
I'm going to go San Jose and 6.
San Jose and 7.
Pittsburgh in 7.
There you have it. If you'd like to let us know your thoughts, you can vote on our poll on our Facebook page and go to THN.com throughout the Stanley Cup Final for all the latest news. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, guys. Have fun watching the final, everybody.
Yeah.